Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, my next guest has an interesting and diverse background. She's a former commissioner of the New York City Department of Transportation and currently works for Bloomberg Associates, a philanthropic consultancy established by former Mayor Michael Orr Bloomberg that advises mayors around the world on how to improve the quality of life for their residents. Jeanette Sadiq-Khan is here in Dublin to address the city transportation stakeholders and the city's business community. And shortly before coming on air, I spoke to Jeanette and began by asking her about her visit here to Dublin.
Well, I was invited to come over with the Bloomberg Partnership for Healthy Cities and the Dublin City Council. And so we were very interested in checking out the work that Dublin is doing with its streets in the context of work that a lot of great cities around the world are doing, like Paris and Milan and London. And so it's very exciting to be here. I'm also half Irish as a McCarthy, so I was very excited. Never been to Ireland before, so this was a wonderful opportunity.
And of course, during your tenure in New York City, you led the creation of City Bike and the conversion of approximately 180 acres of former New York City road space to turn that into use for bicycles, pedestrians, another 44 for bus-only lanes. Really quite revolutionary. How do people respond to that when you try that in New York City?
Well, you know, as you may know, it can be challenging to push back against the status quo. Right? Like people are used to using their same streets the same way that they have for, you know, 60 years. And in New York City, we had 8.5 million people. And I started to think that we had 8.5 million traffic engineers because everybody had their own opinion about the way our streets should be designed. Mm. And the wonderful thing was, is that after putting down all of those kilometers of bike lanes, you know, changing 20 different bus routes, making them fast, easy to get around, improving the commute for over 500,000 commuters, and then pedestrianizing large swaths of the city. At the last poll taken at the end of the Bloomberg administration, you saw overwhelming support for bike share, for plazas, even for bike lanes. I mean, 64% support for bike lanes. If bike lanes had been running for mayor, they would have been elected.
Okay.
But so it was very different from the where it was when we started, right?
Okay.
Like it's a bit of a street fight to, you know, make these kinds of changes, but it's so important. Mm. You know, you can have a job for life if you just pave the potholes and, you know, take care of the infrastructure, but it's so important to make these changes. And when you do it, people can't remember it any other way.
Yeah, and that is what we have heard from proponents of change in Dublin, that, you know, for example, there was pushback against Grafton Street, one of the main streets in Dublin, being pedestrianised very many years ago, and people now couldn't remember a time really when cars were going up and down Grafton Street. There's a lot of talk in Dublin in recent times about traffic congestion. I'm sure it's something you've noticed. What do you think of what you've seen in Dublin so far?
Well, look, I mean, a lot of your listeners are probably listening to this, you know, in their cars. Mm. And it's a fact that a lot of people in Dublin drive. But I've heard people say, oh, Dubliners love their cars, you know, but it's really hard to say if it's a love affair or if it's an arranged marriage, if your alternatives for getting around are so unattractive, you know. But you can't just say, well, you know, technically half of the trips are within walking distance or biking distance. If people don't feel safe doing so, then it's not going to be a real choice. But how you get around is a choice. And it makes sense that a lot of people see the car as the best choice. So the goal is to make walking and biking and taking the bus a better choice. Mm. Because people are not just going to ride it because it's a green thing or a fun thing. You know, these are transportation choices in city after city, whenever they've invested in making it easier to walk and bike, they see more people walking and biking.
So I suppose then the problem always comes up, which comes first? So you say you start to cut down on traffic to allow for more buses, but then people say the buses don't come on time and now I can't get in. It's going to take me an hour and a half to get into work instead of 45 minutes that it was taking me in my car. How do you start? How do you start making the changes without inconveniencing people to such an extent that they really resent the changes?
Yeah, well, you know, you get out of your streets what you put into them, right? And in city after city, all around the world, you know, these cities have changed course, you know, reversing the damage that building a city around cars causes for everyone else. And so when you look at it, a vast majority of Dublin residents already live within like a 15-minute walk of shops and supermarkets. 98% live within a 15-minute walk. That's incredible. Like, a lot of cities would love to have that. I also read that 89% of residents of Dublin and the suburbs live within a 15-minute walk of a pub, which is my new definition of a livable city, you know? And so you've got this 15-minute city with a 16-ounce payoff, right? So I think it's very exciting to see what the possibilities are here. And it does really tie in with the changes that your city is seeing in world-class cities. And I think, you know, setting a vision, which you're seeing with the Dublin Center City Plan, is one of the most important first steps, right?
Yeah.
It's not a matter of just having projects here and there, right? They have to be part of a greater goal of giving people more choices. And I think the city has a big start on this with the Center City Transport Plan.
You mentioned safety. It's interesting that you mentioned that the people have to feel safe to use some of the alternatives. Is that something that's been brought up to you, or I wonder why did you mention it?
Well, you know, safety is the coin of the realm in street design, right? In New York City, I mentioned, you know, our streets hadn't changed in 75 years. We did one of the largest traffic studies of the who, what, when, where, and why of traffic crashes. And we were able to target our interventions to make our streets safer. And as a result, at the end of Mike Bloomberg's administration, our streets were never safer since the starting of the city. But the piece that's really interesting is that whether you're building a bike lane, a bus lane, whatever you do, you are making your streets safer. A bike lane narrows the distance that you have to cross the street. And more cyclists on the street, it's been proven, makes the street safer for everyone. We can't have, you know, 1.2 million people dying on roads every year worldwide. I mean, even in Ireland, you have 184 people dying of traffic deaths every year.
And yet, I'm
this
going
is
to...
not because it's...
Sorry,
I'm sorry.
I'm going to put to you the text that I know I'm going to get in on what you've just said there, which is that the bike lanes that we've put in, a lot of them are empty. A lot of the time. Now, some of them are very well used, but a lot of them are empty. These are the texts we are going to get in. They've narrowed the road, so they're making traffic more difficult for getting in and out, and they're not being used.
Yeah, you know, it is part of that if you build it, they will come. And it's really not about just one bike lane here or there. It's actually creating a network, right? People are not going to ride a bike, you know, on one lane if they know that they're going to be unceremoniously dumped into traffic. They need to know that there's a reliable network that gets from here to there. And, you know, we heard these criticisms in New York City too, right? And people would say, like, you're spending all this money on bike lanes and plazas. It was less than 1% of my capital budget. 99% was spent on the state of good repair work on our roads and bridges. It's not either or.
Okay.
Right?
Can I ask you finally, another of the big reasons that people cite for not wanting to take cars out of the city centre, we'll hear from people with disabilities, we'll hear from elderly people, and we'll hear from businesses who say you're actually going to reduce traffic into us because people can't get into us as easily. What would you say to all of those different interest groups and people, not just interest groups, just real people who have those concerns?
You know, Sarah, those are very valid concerns, and we heard them in New York City as well. And, you know, these strategies are not anti-car. Right. They're pro-choices. We're not saying that you don't, you know, cars are not a part of the city. We're just saying that there need to be other better options as well. And in city after city, we've also seen that merchants, local shop owners overestimate how their customers get to their stores by a dramatic number. And what we've seen in New York City, when we put down protected bike lanes, retail sales went up almost 50%. Better streets are better for business. I think if you want to transform Dublin, you can start by building a strong bike network.
Okay. Jeanette, it's really, really interesting to speak to you. And thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks so much, Sarah. Stay warm.
Thank you.